We're in the middle of a sermon series called Dangerous Prayers. And it's based out of a Craig Rochelle book that really challenged me back in 2017. I realized that my prayer life was not as sophisticated as honestly it needed to be. That I consistently prayed safe prayers, and I think many of us do. We pray to God, and we consistently go to God maybe when life is tough, and we ask God, hey, bless me. God, here's all the things that I need you to move in, specifically the lottery numbers. Come on. God, I need you to put a hedge of protection around my family, which that one's a real prayer that should be prayed. But just consistently we pray these safe prayers around us. Matter of fact, even in my own life, I can think of as a kid, we prayed for our meals. We prayed specifically for like our large gathering of family for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and all those things. But I can't tell you when we consistently prayed or were taught to pray outside of church to just really pray honestly. So most of our prayers were things like, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food, by his hands we are fed, give us, Lord, our daily bread. Or, good God, good meat, good food, let's eat. I'm sure many of you have probably prayed those prayers. Or right now my four-year-old is still stuck on, God our Father, we thank you. You know, that one. And so those prayers are great, but they're not really from the heart. They're not a dangerous prayer in any sense. They're honestly just safe prayers. Many of you may even have incorporated some Ricky Bobby into your prayer life and say, dear 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus, thank you so much for the Domino's, KFC, and Taco Bell. I appreciate it all. Whatever that may look like for you. But our prayers are not called to be safe. I believe that we're supposed to live a prayerful life that's dangerous, a prayerful life that stretches our faith, that grows us as followers of Jesus, because following Jesus was never meant to be safe. Following Jesus was never meant to be convenient. Following Jesus was never meant to be easy. Following Jesus is meant to be hard. It's meant to be troublesome. Jesus says you're going to experience trouble. All of his followers in the early church experienced significant trouble compared to what we experience today. And so we are called to be countercultural. We're called to be different than the world we live in. We're called to be extremists in a way, in the sense of prayer especially. And so dangerous prayers are kind of our MO. So today I want to look at a specific dangerous prayer in Scripture out of 1 Samuel chapter 3. Many of you know this story. Many of you know our good pal Samuel. Samuel's about 12 years old at the time that this story happens, and Samuel's been helping the priest Eli. Samuel's kind of been the right-hand boy to Eli and helping him do all the things. And Samuel is wanting to hear from God, of course, because he's around the priest all the time. But Samuel's laying before he's in the temple of God. He's laying before the lamp of God, and he's going to sleep. And as he's going to sleep, in this time period, Eli and his family are actually not honoring God. And I was supposed to remind people that middle school can be, man, she literally told me that before we were singing that last song. Man, whew, my brain is ADHD filled today. I'm doing my best, you know. He put the footsteps up here. I just have to stand in them, you know. Middle schoolers can be dismissed if we miss somebody. So Samuel is laying before the lamp of God. Eli and his family have been honestly mistreating the temple and mistreating what it means to be a priest of the Lord. And Samuel's about to get some news that he's going to have to share some really hard information with our good pal Eli. And so Samuel's laying in bed, and as he's asleep, he's hearing this voice call out that says, Samuel, Samuel! And he wakes up and he does what any good right-handed, the right hand of the priest would do. He runs to Eli and he says, Eli, what's up? And Eli says, I didn't call you, go lay back down. So then he goes and lays back down. He does exactly what he's told. And he hears, Samuel, Samuel! So he runs to Eli again. Yes, I didn't call you again, buddy. Go lay back down. So he goes and lays back down again. Samuel, Samuel, he goes to Eli one more time, and he goes, what do you need? You've called me 3 times now. And Eli says, it was never me. Go lay back down, and the next time that you get awoken like that, if you do, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10, we see what happens. The Lord came just as before. It says, and the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Man does not live by bread alone, but lives by every word that comes from your mouth. Thank you, Lord, for being with us in the time of communion, to gather around the table and to feast at your banquet before the heavenly banquet would arrive. But Lord, today let us feast of the bread of life that you have. We live by every word that comes from your mouth. So feed us today, O bread of heaven, and allow us to experience you anew. It's in the name of Jesus I pray all these things. Amen. So God speaks. Immediately following this, God will speak to Eli. But I want to test your Bible knowledge before I tell you what he says. So here's my questions. How many times in Scripture do we see God ask people to do things or call people to do things, and it's easy? Do we ever see any of that? No. Most of the time, it's really hard. When God is asking you to do something, when God calls somebody in Scripture, it's not something easy. It's not like, hey, Andy, what I need you to do is walk outside your door, give one big stretch because the sun is setting and it's just a good 72 degrees, and all I need you to do is just look out on your front yard and there will be a winning lottery ticket. That's not what God works. I wish he did. That would be awesome. That's not how God works. God will call somebody to do something that's going to stretch their faith, be hard, something that's a struggle. So, for example, Noah. Noah's called by God to build an ark. And I imagine his first response is, well, God, what's an ark? They've never seen rain. They don't even know what in the world's a boat. So a football and a half-sized long boat. You're going to build that puppy. Then you're going to get two of each animal. You're going to bring them all on board, and you're going to repopulate the earth. Well, that sounds really easy. I'll just do that after lunch tomorrow. That's not what Noah had to deal with. That's very hard for him to do. You've got Jonah, who's called to do something for God. Jonah's called to go to Nineveh and to preach to the Ninevites, who are violent, who are evil people. And he's called to go there and to tell them to repent, to turn away from their evilness. And you know what his response is? Here I am, Lord. I'm not going. Mm-mm, not doing it. And so then he gets swallowed by the fish, and we know the story. He eventually does go because, of course, God would eventually get him on the right track. And even Mary, the one story that we could think, because it's Christmas time and we see it with kind of these rose-colored glasses, that this is a beautiful story. And we can sometimes think that this is so magnificent because it's beautifully painted for us today. But Mary's story is very hard. She's a teenage girl who's to be married, and all of a sudden she's told she's going to be pregnant, and she's unmarried, which could cause some separation there between her and Joseph. And then she's not only going to have to deal with motherhood and how tough it is to raise a kid, but she's also going to be raising the Son of God. That's not very easy. That's tough. And so for us today, when we ask God to speak, we ask, say, God, speak to us. God, we want you to answer these questions. God, please, please tell me what my next step is. What he says back to us is probably going to convict us. What he says back to you is probably going to stretch you. It's probably going to startle you. It's probably going to scare you. It's probably going to seem impossible. It's probably going to be very uncomfortable for you. If God speaks to you, it's going to lead you down a path that you probably do not see as easy. But it's going to be for a purpose. So Samuel hears this voice of God back. And God, and he hears the voice of God say, Samuel, Samuel. And his response is, speak, your servant is listening. And God does not tell him, all right, Samuel, I want you to pour out all the blessings on my people. Or, all right, Samuel, I'm going to do this so much good for you. No, instead, God tells him, hey, Samuel, the guy that you've been following, the priest of this temple, has been mistreating my space of worship. His sons have been running amok. You are going to be telling them this information because I'm about to cast judgment on them. Whew, that's a 12-year-old boy that's getting this information. That's not easy news, but he wanted God to speak. This is a dangerous prayer. When you pray, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. But I want to tell you, if you don't want to hear it, ultimately, don't ask God to speak if you don't want to hear what he has to say. Don't ask God to speak if you don't want to hear what he has to say. If you're not ready for your faith to be challenged, if you're not ready for God to stretch you in some way, for you to really have to experience what it means to be dependent on God, don't ask him to speak. Because what he's going to do is challenge you. His whole role is to stretch you into the one you are called to become. And so God is going to speak into your life. God wants to speak into your life. But you've got to be ready for what he's going to say. And so let's step back for a moment. Let's talk about prayer. Prayer, in so many ways, we think is kind of just talking and talking and talking. especially for me. I'm the mouth of the South. I am an extrovert. I could talk to these sound panels if they would just respond back to me. It would please all day. I'm good. But the problem is that I struggle with listening sometimes. And so if you ever are in a room with me and you're trying to share something with me, I practice what's called active listening. I will say sure, I will say yes, to make you know that I'm understanding what you're saying, but it keeps my brain ticking. Prayer is not just talking. Prayer is listening. Prayer is not just this great order to the waiter in sky. It's this opportunity to listen for God to speak. God is always speaking back. We just often are so loud ourselves that we miss it. In prayer, way more is accomplished by listening than by talking. So much so that most of my prayer time now begins with a time of silence, where I come to the Lord with nothing on my mind that I want to ask. I just consistently, when my mind starts to turn to the things I want God to move in, I recenter myself by saying, "Come, Holy Spirit." And I have a time of silence for God to speak. God is always speaking, but I question for us today, are we listening? Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. So how do you learn to hear God's voice? I want to share with you three ways that we can learn to hear God's voice. First is we have to be still. We have to be still. In Psalm 46, God tells us how to experience his presence in that scripture. But he doesn't say, "Hey, Brandon, go be frantic and you'll experience my presence." Or, "Hey, Cindy, go be busy and you'll experience my presence." Or, "Richard, go seek God on the go and you'll experience my presence." Instead, out of Psalm 46:10, he says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still." This is hard for us to do today because we feel like we have to be doing, doing, doing. There's always more to accomplish. There's always more things you could get done. But instead, God lives in this countercultural world that we live in and says, "Hey, will you be still before me?" I dare ask in this room, and I know the answer for many of us, when was the last time you watched Netflix for an hour or Hulu or Disney? Or when was the last time you filled a lot of space with like doom scrolling, where you scroll on social media for 30, 45, an hour, even more for some of you that may not want to admit it? Or when was the last time, like myself, you spent four and some odd hour changed time watching the Georgia game the other night? Guilty. I watched it. And I find those times are a lot easier than spending 5 minutes in silence before my God. Why? If I'm called by God to just be still and he will be there, to just be still and seek his voice. If all scripture speaks about seeking his face and it never once says seek his hand, why do I struggle with this? Well, because we have to train ourselves to be still. We have to set things aside. We have to set aside time to just be before the Lord. And if I can do it for Georgia football, I can certainly do it for my Lord and Savior. So be still and know that I am God. To hear God's voice, I believe we have to slow our pace. I believe we have to turn down the world's volume. I'm very thankful for my iPhone because it has the Do Not Disturb feature. Man, that's a game changer a little bit. And what's even better is, at my house, if I turn off Wi-Fi to my phone, you can't get in touch with me. Something in my house blocks all cell signal, and it's pretty amazing, to be quite fair, because I can turn off the world if I want to and just be still before the Lord. What's interesting is that Jesus actually tells us to live this life. In Scripture, Jesus says, don't pray like the hypocrites who are out in the streets or who are out, you know, touting up their prayers. Instead, get alone in the prayer closet and pray. Get alone and listen to the Lord. And so when you listen, I hope that everybody in this room hears God as the Morgan Freeman God voice that we know from Bruce Almighty. I don't think you will. I have never experienced the Morgan Freeman voice. I hope one day to experience it just because I think it'd be funny. And I do think God has a sense of humor. But I pray that you all hear God's voice audibly in that sense. I pray that you're somehow the roof of your house lifts up and God just kind of pokes his head in and speaks. Like, I hope that works. It's never really worked like that for me. So how does God speak? Well, first of all, God speaks through his word. God speaks through scripture, so much. This is why it's called the living word of God, is because it's relevant today just as much as it always has been. God speaks through his word. God's scripture will live and breathe and do immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine, as it says in Ephesians 3:20. God's word is palpable for today. It's for us today. So if you're reading your word, you can experience God speaking. If you're not reading your word, but God is silent, I wonder why. And so if you've never read scripture before, maybe you give it a shot. Maybe you do one verse a day. Or right now, my spiritual director, who's part of the seminary I'm a part of, he's actually gotten us reading one psalm a week and really focusing on what is God saying in this psalm? What is God trying to tell me in this psalm? Right now, God's working through Romans in me. Specifically, I have a student who consistently brings up the Romans 5 passage that just says, where sin abounds, grace abounds more. That's God speaking to me to say you're not too far gone. So God speaks through his word. He directs, he guides, he corrects in scripture. God also speaks through people. And I'll tell you, this is the one that can drive me nuts sometimes. It's because God always seems to speak through the person that I don't want to tell me the thing. And so one of those is like when we're in a good argument, Leslie somehow channels God and will speak to me sometimes. And I'm like, why has it got to be you? Why can't God just speak to me? Or God will speak through my enemy sometimes. Or God will speak through a funeral service where other people come up to me and encourage me in a way that I didn't know that I needed. Or God will speak to me through others that just meet me on the streets that say something that encourages me to no ends. Last night, I had a chance where my wife spoke God to me, where she spoke what God needed to tell me. And honestly, it was one of those like, ugh. Because there was a phone call I needed to make. There was somebody that was sitting heavy on my heart that I needed to talk to this individual because they needed just some guidance. But I was trying to avoid giving them guidance so I could spend extra time with my family. And my wife knew that it was bothering me. So she said, hey, why don't you go make that phone call and set yourself, you know, just set some time aside, go make that phone call, and then you can come back and spend time with us. And I said, but I don't want to. You know, I kind of bucked the system for it. And she said, well, last week, didn't you talk about praying of being bold? I was like, dang it. Yeah, of course you would say that. Guess I've got to be bold. You know, God speaking through her, speaking through ways that I don't want to experience, speaking through people is some of the ways that God does. God also speaks through circumstances. We've seen where we call them kind of coinkydinks, or we call them by coincidences that stuff happens. God will speak through circumstances. Certain doors will open that you can only explain as a but God moment. Certain miraculous things will happen in your life. You will be all of a sudden healed from something that you have no idea how in the world that happened. There was a story I listened to the other day of here locally in Columbus of a young man who had torn his ACL in his knee and had his church laid hands on him and prayed for him and all this kind of stuff. And he was like, I was the most skeptical person. I was like, man, I want God to heal it, but that's a torn ACL. That's going to take doctors and nurses and whatnot. And he said, I woke up the next morning and I was able to walk on it. And he was like, well, this is weird. I thought it was torn. I hadn't been able to put much weight on it, but I was able to walk on it. He went to the hospital the next day to get kind of the MRI or whatever he had to get done. And the doctor was like, I don't know what to tell you. Things are repaired. And so God will just speak through some circumstances for you. God will speak through open doors. God will also speak through some closed doors. Can I get an amen? I know I am thankful that God closed some doors for me. I'm thankful that God closed some relationship doors. I'm thankful that God closed some job opportunity doors. I'm thankful that God has done all those things because circumstances God can speak through. And then finally, God can speak through his spirit. God can speak through his spirit. If you say yes to Jesus, if you are a Christ follower, you have the same spirit that fell in Acts chapter 2 on those individuals, those flaming tongues. That spirit lives inside of you, and that spirit will prompt you, it'll convict you, it'll do all the things. And so where you are at a space and you're like, God, speak to me, God may tell you, I want you to go do this, and you consider it a prompting. So this is where you get into public and you're like, man, I feel really compelled to go pray for that lady. Or man, I feel really generous all of a sudden, and I just feel like I need to help that person, or I feel like I need to give that thing, or I feel like, you know, one of the ways in which I try to pray each day is, God, what do I have that someone needs? You know, what are you going to challenge me in the name of Jesus? What, through your spirit, what are you working inside of me? And so God will speak through his spirit. He will prompt you. He will move you to do something. And I'll tell you, if you don't feel peace about it, You're going to get to a place to where you feel peaceful in what God has called you to do. Ultimately, I had someone ask me the other day, how does this work? How do you know if it's a move of the Spirit? Well, I'll just challenge you in the fact of, if you're prompted to be generous, to be kind and caring, or to go out of your way to bless someone, that's not the devil. He's not going to prompt you to be generous, to be kind, or go out of your way to bless someone. And so that's probably the move of the Spirit prompting you to do something. If you think you're supposed to volunteer, you've got this thing stirring up inside of you, man, I'm really prompted, I need to be helping with youth ministry, or I need to be helping with the kids, or I would love to share my gift and talent of playing a musical instrument or singing or whatever that may be, you're prompted to volunteer, that might be the move of the Holy Spirit working through you. If you feel like you're prompted not to take a job, might be God at work. If you're not sure why, but I'm supposed to call, fill in the blank, it's probably a prompting of the Holy Spirit to get you on the phone. So, we should be still before the Lord. Open to what He has for us. Be still and know that I'm God. So if you want the Lord to speak, first of all, you've got to say, I'm listening. Secondly, it's to be still before the Lord, whatever that looks like. And then it's to be willing. Often our prayers are long babblings. You know, God, what do you want me to do? God, I will do this, 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 and this. But only those things don't work outside the box. God, keep me safe. God, heal the headache. God, save my boss who gave me the headache in the first place. Whatever that may be, you are praying those things. But what if instead of coming to God with your list of prayers, you came to God with a blank page? What if instead of going to God with your list, you came with Him with an empty slate and said, God, you fill this prayer journey. What do you have for me? God, I want to move, but I don't know who to reach out to first. Who is that person? God, I want to pray for somebody. Someone needs healing in my family. Who is that person? Whatever it may be. Not just asking Him to do something, but instead of saying, God, speak to me. God, fill this page with the people that can come to mind that I need to be coming to you for. Or you can even prompt it with questions. God, show me my sins that I may not even be recognizing of. God, show me what are my motives that are separating me from you. God, help me love my husband who is far from God. How do I do that? God, let me use my gifts for church. What does that look like? See, in Proverbs 3:6, it says, seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you which path to take. So if we come before Him with an empty page, what could possibly come out of that? God, speak. I want to hear from you. I don't want to just come out of my own brain of what I think I need. I want what you need from me. And so we've got to be willing for God to move, willing to say yes, willing and obeying to move forward. And then the third thing, so you've got to be still, you've got to be willing, and then you've also got to be ready. Be ready. Be ready when God speaks. Because the thing is that you might not want to hear what He has to say. He's going to prompt you probably to apologize to someone that you've not wanted to apologize for years, and you grit your teeth as you say, I'm sorry. Amen. He may want you to step out in faith to that person that you have ignored because they're a little bit weird and invite them to church. And not just invite them, but say, hey, next Sunday I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to put you in my car even though I think you may stink, whatever. And I'm going to bring you with me because God is way more important than the inconvenience of a smell. Whatever it may be, are you ready for what God does have to say? And are you willing to obey it in the midst of it? See, God tells Samuel something he doesn't want to hear. God tells Samuel something that's really hard for him to say. He's got to look at the person who's been mentoring him and saying, hey man, you're not standing up for what God's got for you. You're not actually doing what God has called you to do. You've been mentoring me this whole time, but you've been doing it in the wrong way, and I appreciate how you introduced me to what God had for me, but you have messed this up, and you're going to be judged for it. That's hard. That's a 12-year-old boy saying that. So as a 30-something-year-old man, I should be ready for what God's got for me. So maybe God's calling you to lead a journey group, but you're scared to death to do so. What if you were ready for that? Be ready to be called to do that. What if God's calling you for radical generosity, something that does not make sense to anybody but you and God? Are you ready for that? Would you set aside your sinful or selfish desires to be uncanny generous if He calls you to do so? Maybe God's calling you to move to a different state. Maybe God's calling you to go back to school. Maybe God's calling you to change careers. Maybe God's calling you to invite your boss to church, or maybe post about your faith on social media, break up with the person that you're dating, or forgive someone who betrayed you. Are you ready if God calls you to it? See, every time God called somebody in Scripture, every time God speaks in Scripture, those individuals are unprepared, unequipped, and unqualified, but God moves anyway in the midst of it because they say yes and they go. Do you think Abraham was ready when God said, hey, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to make your descendants the number of the stars, and that barren womb is going to be filled, and Sarah laughs, and he says, you know what I need you to do? I need you to go. Abraham doesn't go, well, all right, give me the GPS coordinates and I will make it, Lord. He just does. He was ready. So, a dangerous prayer. Last week was be bold. This week we're talking about speak, Lord. That's the dangerous prayer for today. If you don't pray it, do not pray this prayer. Do not pray speak, Lord, if you're not ready for what God has to say. The only thing more dangerous than this prayer itself is not praying it. If you do pray it, it's going to convict you. If you do pray it, it's going to be uneasy. If you do pray, it's going to stretch you. It's going to stretch your faith. It may be something that God asks you that you think is impossible. Pray it anyway. If you don't pray it, you're probably going to miss out on what God wants to say to you, do in you, or do through you. And so we should pray. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we yearn for you to speak in this space. We yearn for you to be made much of in our own lives, in our own hearts, and in our own prayer journeys. So I pray that every single person in this room will be encouraged to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. That we will be radical, bet the farm, big risk takers in the name of Jesus Christ. That we will not just see spiritual commonalities as just the norm. Instead, we will expect the miracles. We will expect the impossible. We will be amazed by the fact that, God, you have not given up on us and you never will, that your church will always remain and that we are a church that is spoken to directly by the one who is the creator of all. And so, Lord, empower us. Allow us to experience you anew. May we taste and see that you are good, and may we ask that you speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So in the name of Jesus, I pray all these things. Amen.